They decide if they want to go or stay or whatever, you know. How about y'all? Y'all want to stay just a few minutes? Most everybody didn't say nothing, so I don't know. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Proud to be here this morning. I want to share with you a little bit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to talk a little bit about testimony this morning. You know, I think every Christian ought to have a testimony, not only in their heart, but also on their lips, able to tell somebody about the love of God and the power of Jesus Christ and salvation. But also the church has a testimony. You know, we as individuals come in and make up the church, and I believe the church itself has a testimony in the community and the place where it's at about the power and the love of God. So we're going to look at some of that this morning and talk about the ability that God gives us to be ambassadors. He gives us ability to have the testimony and actually further the cause of Christ. If you'll look with me in the book of Philippians this morning, I want to start there. And let's talk about the power that never goes away. Have y'all ever thought about a power that stays forever? It's a continual thing. That's the power that God gives us through His grace and the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we have that power within us. When we receive Christ, we receive that power, and it's never going to go away. It's never going to change. I know a lot of people say, well, I know people that come and people that go, and I tell you, I'll agree with that. I see it too, but it's not because God failed. It's not because He changed, you know, then we have to be conscious of that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. That just about covers everybody. It didn't miss many, did it? And verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so he uses this salutation and greets them and lets them know, you know, he's praying for them and he's proud of having a fellowship from, I liked what he said, from the first day until now. And so it was a fellowship. It was a union between them that hadn't changed or hadn't went away. And then in verse 6, very important, it said, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that is the day of Jesus Christ, is the second coming, hadn't taken place yet. So understand, everybody here, the work that God began in you, He's going to continue until that day of Jesus Christ, and then the Lord will take over. But when people start saying, well, I just don't believe I can do that anymore, it's not because God is backed up, it's not because God has changed, it's sometimes because our attitude or our hearts changed. So when we think about this, about having this confidence of the very thing, He's begun a good work in you, will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so we really have no excuse. I'm talking about and hinting back to testimony. I know some people that have more or less lost their testimony because of the way they've lived or the way they've talked or the things they've done, but it's not because God didn't give you the power to continue. I want to look just a little bit. We'll talk about this in Galatians chapter 6. Turn with me, Galatians chapter 6, just back a few pages. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. So, you know, he gives us this promise from God that if we continue, we're going to reap. We're going to have a bounty. We're going to have a plentiful harvest if we continue sowing this word, this seed of God that he has us to sow. When it talks about not being deceived, that God's not mocked, he knows everybody's heart. He knows everybody's mind. He warns us that if you sow of the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. But then he goes to the other side of it. It said, if you reap of the soweth of the Spirit, you shall have the Spirit reap everlasting life. And so God gives us a choice in this. He powers us, He encourages us, and then He gives us a choice that we can make. We can sow to the flesh or we can sow to the Spirit. You know, it's a choice that we have. God don't force us to do either one. But I'm going to tell you, it's profitable when we start sowing of the Spirit and reaping that everlasting life in the promises of God. I think a lot of times, I guess my testimony is different from some other people's. But I think a lot of times it's not always about what God has done for me. A lot of times it's about what God has done through me. And I think that ought to be all of our testimony. We have a testimony of God that it's not always about what He's done personally for me. It's not always personally what He's done for my family. But sometimes what He's done through us that we might reach and comfort and help somebody else in a time of trouble or a time of trouble. Amen. And so let's consider when we start stating our testimony, a lot of times people might stand up and say, well, God's done a lot for me. He's done this and this. But sometimes it's more important what God has done through you. Testimony. Opportunity. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And so it talks about we ought to be more conscious about our church members and the people we're in the family of God than we are anybody else. And it said as we have opportunity. And I'm telling you, the opportunity is great. You know, Jesus looked out said that time and He said, the fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. And so I get thinking about we've still got as great an opportunity as I've ever saw in my life that we spread this gospel of Jesus Christ, that we uplift somebody, we help strengthen somebody, that God might we might have a testimony that God, through us, has lifted somebody else up and helped somebody else. Not always about us. I'm telling you, this thing's bigger than we are. It's a lot bigger than we are. You can't imagine the power of God that can be used through us many times. We're talking about testimony. I want to look back at 2 Chronicles just a few minutes. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let me show you a time when the children of Israel had problems. That's not unusual. They had a lot of problems. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'll start in verse 10. They're surrounded or confronting and facing a great enemy. There's several troops that have joined together, and they're coming against them in a manner of war, and they're in a position and a place in life that they don't truly understand how they're going to survive. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and verse 10, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit." So this is an old enemy. This is an ongoing thing. They've dealt with them before. God had to bypass them on the way across the desert and through the wilderness. But now it's come back to kind of haunt them. And here they are. They said this enemy, it's Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And so they've all three come against the children of Israel. And I got thinking about this. You know, they were in a strait and a hard place. They had a greater army than Israel had at that time. And most of the time that consists of a defeat. But God's children cannot be defeated. In verse 12 it said, "O God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And I got thinking about what the children of God did when they saw this great army confronting them. They just cried out to God. They began pouring out their prayers to God and asking Him to judge them. And He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you," that we look to God in a time of need. You know, there's a lot of times we'll look to other things. We'll look to other people. We'll look to bank accounts. We'll look to jobs. We'll look to friends. But I'm telling you, in time of need, you need to be looking at God without a doubt. And I love this about them. He said, "But our eyes are upon thee," because they had trust in God. They had a confidence in God. Verse 13, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children." Now, I want to preach to you this very thing. Understand, when they had problems, when they saw trouble coming, when this enemy was coming against them, they made it a family thing. Y'all got that? their wives, and their children. They included all of them into this prayer force that they're going to pray about. You know, I've done this a lot of times, and I'm sure some of y'all have. Y'all ever left out of here in a high-powered church meeting and the Spirit of God just real and bouncing breast to breast, feeling real good, and you get home and nothing's changed? Everything's the same at home. It's the same problem. It's the same trouble. It's the same loved one away from God. And you know, it seems like nothing's changed. Well, I'm going to tell you, this might be the answer to it, that we don't just leave it here at the church. We take it home with us. I'm telling you, you got a good service in the Lord, you get lifted up and fired up in God, full of the Holy Spirit, take it to your house and put your family on notice. Okay, this is in my house and this is what it's going to do. Make it a family thing. We have to make it family-oriented. There's going to be success. You'll find that the Spirit of God fell on Jehaziel. He got filled up with the Holy Ghost and began talking in the congregation and telling what's going to happen in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Now, did y'all get a little bit there? He's in the Spirit of God, and God's sending this word through him, Jehaziel. And he tells them all, said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great enemy, this great number coming against you. He said, because the battle's not yours, it's God. Oh, me. Now, let's think about this situation when I said that sometimes when you get home, nothing changed. I'm going to suggest that you start letting God fight some of them battles. I mean, you got problem at your house, you got problem with your kids. Let's tell the Lord on them. Let's everybody here be a tattletale and just tell God on them. And God, I want you to fight this battle because it looks like it's greater than I am. But when he said that, he said, this battle's not yours, but God's. Guess who's going to win that battle? God, every time. Verse 16 starts giving information to him. It said, tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Juel. And so he tells them where to go and tells them that I want you to go down and meet them, but they already know the battle is not theirs, but the battle is God's. All we got to do is show up. Praise God. I think about that a lot of times in church. You know, there's a great battle goes on between church and unchurch. If you know what I mean, between godly and ungodly, there's a great battle goes on in every community. There's a great battle goes on in every state and every country and all across the United States. And I want you to know that right now, there's a battle goes on between New Salem Baptist Church and the ungodliness in this community. But I thought about if we'd start turning this over to God, guess who's going to win this battle? God will win it. God will win it. All we got to do is show up. Amen. You did your part this morning by just showing up. Thank God. Can y'all imagine that? That you've won a great battle by just showing up. That's all you have to do. Verse 17 said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, that's how you have a testimony when you know the Lord is with you. I thought about this. He's telling them, said, you just go down, you confront them, and then just stand still. Just stand you still. You know, I thought about when the children of Israel, when they was crossing the Red Sea, and they came up to the Red Sea, and the enemy behind them, the sea in front of them, and they was all dismayed, and they was all upset and tore up. Moses told them, said to in Exodus, I think it's 14, chapter 13. He told them very plain. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I started thinking about this stand still. You know, I'm on sometimes a real busy agenda. Get up in the mornings and think of a dozen things I need to do and get done. Lay at night, awake at night, trying to get it out of my mind, what all I might get done tomorrow. And I get up in the mornings, I have my prayer service, and I start talking about to God. You know, I've got an appointment with God. And if you don't, you need to make one. People say, well, he'll hear you anytime. It's not about God. It's about you having an appointment. I mean, most of the time when we make an appointment, that's something we try to keep, right? Well, I thought about that. You know, I have an appointment with God every morning that I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to commune with the Father because I can't make it without it. And although he don't need an appointment, I do, to keep me faithful in it. If you don't have an appointment with God, start making you one every now and then. But I thought about this appointment with God, that I go out in the mornings and I have so many things on my mind. I have a list of cancer patients I pray for. I have a list of sick people I pray for. I have a list of people that's out of church that I pray for. And I start going down these lists and making all these prayers. And sometimes I get so busy with my wants and my desires and my asks that I don't listen. I think this was a big thing when he told him, said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And I've started that after I stop talking, I start listening. Oh, amen. I start listening. If you don't take time to listen, you're backing up, really. Yeah, there's a lot of times that I pray and I talk and I talk, but I've started before I ever go any farther. I take time to say, now, God, I've spoke, now I'm listening. And I still stand still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes we just got to get a little still. Amen. Not so busy. We're a busy people. Amen. But if we get so busy we don't have time to talk and hear from God, we're in bad shape. Now, this is a wonderful thing, you know. When Moses told him, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. Praise God. You know, and I think a lot of times that God could part that trouble, that problem that we're facing. He could spread it out. He could part it if only we'd stand still long enough to see the salvation. We've asked. Now let's expect to see it. Down in verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, or the children of the Korahites, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Now, they've prayed and they've asked God to deliver them. God has told them, said, you're not going to have to fight. He said, it's going to be my battle. You don't have to worry about it. And so what do? Before they ever get down the battle, they start praising God. They're praising God for the battle that already is going to be won. It hadn't happened yet, but they know it's going to. Now, I like that faith about prayer. I'm telling you, they believed God was going to do exactly what he said. Have any of y'all got the faith enough that when you ask something of God, you could stand up and claim it and say, I'm going to claim that one. Praise God, he can do it. There's no doubt in my mind. And they started praising God before this ever happened. In verse 20, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophets, so you shall prosper. He said, just believe, and keep believing. Now that's what we're talking about this morning. You need to believe, and you need to keep believing that God can and God will do whatever he said he'd do for you. You need to get to the point that you can claim it before it ever happens. Amen. I claim that in the name of Jesus. I prayed it, God granted it, and I claim it. And so he told them that you will prosper. Down in verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, now notice this, he didn't make this decision on his own. He consulted with the people. I like that. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord and said, and that should praise the beauty and of holiness as they went out before the army and said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now I want you to know that's about the most unnatural thing I ever heard in my life. They're going out to fight a war. They're going to face an enemy carrying swords and shields and spears and axes and no telling what. What does he do? He says, you singers, get out in front. I'm going to tell you, don't ever underestimate the power of a song service. Never underestimate the power of music and a song service in the church, because it's got a power. He said, that's the way I'm going to set forth. He talked to people about it. I'm sure some of them thought, this dude's lost his mind. He's sending a singer. What are they going to do? Whop them with their guitar? But see, Jehoshaphat had heard what God said. He said, you will not need to fight. He said, the battle's not yours, but mine. So that's why he could feel good about putting the musicians and the singers out front. He said, just go sing them to death. Praise the Lord. And they did. Hey, it worked. He said, just go play to them and sing to them and watch them. You know, if you read on through this, you're going to find out they begin to ambush each other and they all turned against each other and wiped themselves out. Children of Israel never fought, never hit a lick. They sang the praise of God. Don't ever underestimate the power of a song service in your church. Or anywhere else as far as that goes, because there's a power there. I said it was unnatural. Amen. That's the most unnatural thing, conventional thing I've ever saw. But understand, we don't serve a natural God. We serve a supernatural God. Supernatural. Man asked me the other day, he said, you believe in aliens? Something from not of this world. I said, God's not of this world. People look at you strange when you tell them that, but hey, God's not of this world. He's supernatural. He's an alien, I guess you'd say. Praise God. That don't worry me, you know, it don't scare me a bit. But I thought about this supernatural God and the supernatural way that they prepared this attack, all in the power of God. When Jehoshaphat went to the people, they didn't doubt. God had already told them, this is my battle. This is my fight. You just show up, I'll win it. There's important sometimes you just need to show up. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten of each other. You can read on through it, and they turned on each other and destroyed everybody there because they had the faith in God to do what he said he'd do. God said, it's my fight. God said, it's my battle. All you got to do is get to the point you trust him enough to do it. Don't interfere. Don't meddle. When God's got it under control, let it go. It'll be okay. I thought about all these people after they saw that. I bet they came away with the testimony, didn't they? I guarantee you they came away with the testimony. They had a testimony of the power of God and the belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God and what he can do. They had the promise of Jesus coming. That they saw the power. They saw the glory. And they had a testimony. That's what I pray for this church, that we as individuals have a testimony and we as a church have a testimony. If for nothing else, that we stand for the Word of God and its rightness in all situations. You know, I think a lot of times I don't know where the journey ends for a lot of people, but I can more or less tell you where it can start. The journey can start right down here, and it walks right down through here, and where the journey will take you, I don't know. But there's an opportunity today that if you don't have a testimony of the power of God, you can work on it. Amen. We can work on our testimony. Our musicians, let's bring them up. What would your testimony be today? Saw the power of God?